Thank you, young people. A challenge to us to carry the light. The light of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he went away, he said, "Now you're the light of the world." And so we have that responsibility to carry the light. We'll do like the little girl who the cow kicked the bucket over and she was trying to make the cow drink the milk again, trying to make her drink what was left. And so Grandpa said, "What are you doing?" So we're going to run. She said, "I'm going to run it through again." So we're going to run mission through again, all right? Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Familiar verses always connected with missions. And we have some other verses that are equivalent to this, and what we call the Great Commission. Now I want to speak just a few minutes on the mandate, the divine holy mandate of missions. The word mandate basically means it's not optional. I don't know why some churches or some folks might think that missions is optional. I mean, we do have volition, we do have choice. There's no question about that. But if we are in the will of God, if we're doing what God tells us to do, if we're going by the book, then missions is a mandate from God, a divine, holy mandate, not a request. But it's something God has told us that as a New Testament church, and we always are reminded that a church is the people, right? The people. That a New Testament church has been given this mandate from the early church to move out and to get the job done. And you're familiar with these, but let's look at these verses, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now who's speaking here? Tell me who's speaking. Jesus. And he's speaking unto them, these disciples, and that's what you and I are. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you believe that was true? Say amen. All power. Go ye therefore, because that's true, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's part of it. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's part of it. Discipleship is part of it. Teaching those that get saved to be baptized and then teaching them to go right around and do the very same thing that we've done in that circle is tell them about Jesus, watch people get saved, see them baptized, and then help them to get busy for the Lord doing the same type thing. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So be it. Amen means. And so that's a fact of the Word of God that God intends for us to see. As I said earlier, missions is not an imposition on a church. Missions is what a church should be about, among other things, to carry out the commission. And so we have a mandate from God, the church. The parachurch organizations were not given this mandate. They were not. No mission board was given that mandate. You missionaries are like that. But they have their place, and they are helpful, and that's the purpose of them, so they can assist and help the missionary. But it isn't the mission board that gives the mandate and tells them everything to do. It is Christ that gives a mandate, and he gives it through, I believe, the local New Testament church. Not an option, but the local church. We don't go to other clubs and see what they expect us to do. We want to know what God wants us to do. And this is directly from God Almighty telling us what we have to do, what is involved in doing that. And so the mandate is from God, and it is important. It is something that should be part of our spiritual fiber in every way as we think of what we are supposed to do for the glory of God as God's children. The mandate. We're to go out. We're to reach people. We're to get them saved. We are to baptize them. And then we are to teach them the right thing so they can continue to do the very same thing. We need to win them, and somebody said we need to wet them, and then we need to work them. But we need to do a little more than that. We need to teach them and train them so they can go out and do the same thing. Well, what is the mission? The mandate, we know, is from God. The mission, why are we sent? What is the mandate all about? When he tells us to go, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost." Well, that implies that they need to be saved. We're to go win them to Christ. Tell them how to be saved. Why are we sent? Because, as I said this morning, there's so many lost people out there. There are lost people all around us. And sometimes we think, well, they just don't really care. We try to talk to them about the Lord, and some of them just seem like they don't care at all, do they? You meet them all the time. But we're looking for the ones that are going to listen. We're looking for the ones that God is speaking to. We're looking for the ones, and we're being faithful. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more we can get the seed out, the more we can plant it, the more we can distribute it, the more we can get it out there. God tells us to do it. We plant, one plants, somebody else comes by and waters, we do a little watering. Who gives the increase? God does. Amen. If it's going to happen, it's got to be God. It can't be me, it's not the missionaries. We're just trying to do what God has told us to do. And the same is true with you. And I'm almost hesitant to say as a lay person, because we're all called into full-time service. I think right here that's pretty good proof. Maybe not in the specific areas, but we're called to accomplish and to do the same thing. We are sent because there are lost people coming up, knocking on the door of 7 billion people. I was looking back in some of my notes from way back, and I had some notes where it said, just think, 3 billion people. And now, you know, 4, and then 5, and then 6, and then 7, almost 7 billion people all over the world. And there are so many things, so many people that needed to be reached. It is estimated Some of the last statistics that I read about, maybe 2% of them claim to be born again. That means about 98% of them are lost. Who knows how many of the 2% that claim to be saved are saved? That's a lot of unsaved people, isn't it? And they're not all in Africa. They're not all in the Philippines. They're not all in England. They're not all in France. They're not all in Mexico. There are a bunch of them right around us that need the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know numbers are hard to get hold of, but just think, 7 billion people on the face of this earth. And they need to come to Christ. They need to be saved. We need to get the gospel to them. We need to be able to do it. As I said today, some of them don't have the Bible in their own language. Someone gave me a Bible and said it was a Bible for those people, and mentioned some things as they handed it to me. And they handed the Bible to me, and it looked like this. I don't remember exactly. It might have been Bill that gave it to me, or Mike. I'm not sure. Somebody gave it to me, and they handed it to me, and I opened it up, and it's nothing but blank pages. That's all it is. You get the point. They don't have the Bible. That's their Bible. Blank pages. Nothing. So we need to get the gospel to them. We need to get the Bibles to them. We need to do all of those things, because the light of the cross is it's the only hope they have. Amen. Not for social reformation and all of those things, but it's the light of the cross. That's the only thing that's going to get them ready to meet Almighty God and to go out into eternity. Nothing else is going to do it. Religion will not do it. There's religion, religion, religion. Go anywhere and you find all the religion you want. But religion, although Christianity is classified as part of religion and one of the religions, To me, it is the religion. The other religions are false. And they have it everywhere. I don't care where you go. And I've mentioned before, when I was in India, I saw religion upon religion upon religion. Bill, you and Marcy were there a while. They have a lot of religion there, don't they? I mean, what kind you want? And you can just pick and choose and get all the religion you want. But what they need is the light of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is their only hope. And I would like to go. I'd like to go to some of those countries, but God and I settled that a long time ago. God laid it on my heart and showed me that He did not want me to go to the mission field, but when He did that, He broke my heart for missions and missionaries and for the rest of the world, and He did it in a very unique way. And we had a wonderful guy who at one time was a missionary in Africa, older gentleman. He had graduated from a prestigious seminary, a good godly man, and he was a member of my church, my first church. I was scared to death of him when I first went in there. He had a master's degree from Dallas Theological and so on and so forth, and I thought, man, I don't know if I want a guy like this in my church. But boy, was he a wise man, and did he have a heart for missions. He was back there whenever they had to run out to just to save their lives and had to leave. That used to be called the Africa Evangelical Fellowship. And Brother Ezra Schenck was a man who wrote the book about the founder of that. And I had to go to him, and he and his wife, and my wife and I went and talked to him. And you've heard the story, some of you, before, where I realized that God was not wanting me to go to Brazil, but God was breaking my heart, not only for Brazil, but in a very unique way for the whole world. And he said to me, God may, you go if God wants you to go, but God may be just breaking your heart so that you'll do more as a pastor of a church to really get missions out there. And so we started Faith Promise Missions, and the church raised a lot of money in my first church. And then in our second church, a strong missions program and many people giving and Faith Promise. We have not implemented Faith Promise here, but I do say a whole lot about Faith Promise. And I encourage you to give by faith and promise the Lord. That means you go on and give it. That doesn't mean you promise God, if you give it to me, I'll give it. That's not faith promise. Faith promise is, I trust you to give it to me, God, and I'm going to go ahead and give it. And I trust you to take care of it. That's faith promise. And that's really what we're trying to practice here, is faith promise. But we need to do that. God broke my heart for missions, and I understand that those people over there need the light. I wish our church were bigger. I wish we could reach more people. I wish we had a larger budget. I wish we could give more than $250,000 to missions. I wish we could do a whole lot more, because there's a lost world out there and they need Christ. And we've got people willing to go. They just need help to go. And they need us to pray and give to get the job done. So we have the mandate. We have the mission is to go out. There's only one way to heaven. How then shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? They've got to hear about Jesus. I was reading a book the other day that was called The 10X Factor. And reading it, he was saying it didn't matter how good your product was. He said, I realized when I started out I had a good product, but nobody knew where my product was. And he was talking about the fact that it doesn't matter how good your product is, if people don't know where it is and how to come get it, and that you have it, what good does it do to have the product? And that's the way it is with the gospel. We've got it. We've got the product, don't we? But we've got to get the people, get it to the people and get the gospel to them. And that takes money, and that's where, as I mentioned, faith promise comes in. I'm glad for that. If you trust God to in faith promise, and you trust God to go on and give it, you'll be surprised some exciting things God will do. And that's not pastoral hype. That's the absolute truth. We have experienced it over the years. And how exciting it is to see what God's going to do when you go ahead and increase by faith your giving to reach a lost and dying world. It's not a gimmick. It's not a trick. It's not a pledge, but it's doing what God said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. How many of you believe that? Give and it shall be given unto you. And what better cause could you give? And I think in the context, we've got to understand what he's talking about, but the principle is still there. We need to give. And the people that were in, they wrote about the people in Achaia, and they had already laid aside, and they were ready a year before that. They made some commitments in their lives to get the job done. He's able. Every family member ought to be involved in giving by faith. Mothers and daddies, you ought to teach your children. Take that little envelope, or however you want to do it, and teach them at an early age, give to missions. Amen. And teach them that there's more people in the world than them. That there are more people who have some needs, spiritual needs, than just all the toys that they get. That they need to be taught at an early age to do that. So we have the mandate, we have the mission. We need the money, and thank God we have some pretty good givers and folks. Our folks aren't rich people. I don't even know if we have a millionaire or two. I don't know. If I ever find out, boy, am I ever going to talk to you. But I have no idea. We may have. Sometimes you'll be surprised. The ones who are millionaires, you would never dream it. The ones who are always telling you, they're probably about ready to lose it or don't have it. But the ones that don't, you'll be surprised. I've been surprised in my pastorates when I found out who would just come up and write a check for a van or do that, and find out that they had been very frugal and very careful, and they had learned to give early in their lives, and God had blessed them tremendously. I don't know, but I just know that it takes all of that, and we need to do that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure down at the church house? Or is it connected with heaven? Where are our treasures? And I'm not one to tell you shouldn't have a boat and you shouldn't have a motorcycle. I may buy me another motorcycle just to keep my wife humble. just to keep her on her knees. But I had one once, and she wouldn't ride it with me too much. I have no idea why, but she didn't want to ride with me too much, so I went ahead and sold it. The grandkids got the money, of course, you know, but you know how that is. I'm not against that, but I'm telling you, we need to put God first and make some sacrifices and give to the work of the Lord. And then we need the manpower. Where are we going to get the manpower? That was a blessing to me to see a few of these young ladies over here and some of the young guys over here. And somebody may say, well, they're young, they don't know what they're doing. You just hang around a while, all right? I may be gone in heaven. You hang around a while, and God touched their hearts, and they meant business, and they surrendered. And if they will not let the devil get in the way, they'll go to the mission field. Amen. They'll need to go to a good Bible college somewhere, not some liberal college, not some college where they have a liberal Bible department, but a Bible college that will teach them the right thing and teach them the things that they need to do. And they'll prepare themselves and go out and serve the Lord. We need to be praying. Our church ought to always be praying for laborers. Put that on your prayer list if it's not there. Pray for laborers. Pray for people. And I know we hear the cliche, you know, the harvest is white. It's white unto harvest, and so on and so forth. And pray for laborers. And we say, oh yeah, I've heard that. But folks, we've got to do it. I don't care how many times we've heard it. We need to pray for laborers. And if you can't go, you can give and do all of that, but you can pray, God, get a hold of some of our couples. Get a hold of some of our young people. Get a hold of their lives so they'll surrender and go to the mission field and prepare themselves to do that, giving themselves. We had a friend named Loretta Sloan. Some of you may know her. Carter Sloan, her husband, a missionary. They were missionaries for a number of years. And the story is told, and I think I asked her if that was true once, and she said, yes, I am not sure now. You know, when you get my age, you forget a couple of those things. You're not real sure, but I don't want to be bulldogmatic about it. But I do know it was told as a fact that they had a missions conference, and they were saying that they needed people to surrender and so on and so forth, or to give and help out and so on and all. And she didn't have anything to give, and somehow she got, and this is told in other stories, I've heard other stories about it, but she, as a little girl, stepped into the offering plate, put it down and stepped into the offering plate and gave herself. That's right. It was Brother McCoy's church. Thank you for verifying my memory. That's good. And that's a true story. And that's what God is asking us to do, really, all of us. Put yourself in the offering plate. Just put yourself there, and we can do something together. And, of course, you know the mission is that you would be saved. And the greatest missionary, as I said this morning, is Jesus Christ. And, friend, he came and died for you. Probably everybody here, most everybody here tonight is saved, probably. Most everybody. But there may be one. You say, just one? Hey, wait a minute. If that had been the only one, Jesus would have died for just one.
Amen.
He would have died for you. And if you're here tonight without Jesus, man or woman, there may be some lost lady here tonight, or some lost man, or some lost young person. Jesus died for you, and you ought to receive him as your Savior. If God is calling you, and you feel like you sense that the Spirit of God is dealing with you. I remember when God dealt with me about becoming a preacher. I remember it well. And I was scared to death, just a 13-year-old boy, frightened about the whole thing, wondering how can God take me and do anything with me? I knew me better than anybody else except God. But I know young people and some of you couples, if you'll surrender, you say, well, it's not logical. It doesn't make any sense. I got my college education for all these other things. Wait a minute. If God calls you, just forget all that and say, here I am. I'm going. And God will take care of you. Family got to take care of you. And I believe that some of us, no doubt here tonight, who haven't been giving by faith to missions, you could make a commitment tonight in your own heart between you and God that you're going to go ahead and get more involved with the financial end of helping reach people around the world. We cannot be selfish. We can't, like those lepers that went out and they found all of that food and all the enemy had gone and all of that, and they were just going to keep it and enjoy it themselves. And they said, we do not well. This is not good. Let's go back and share the bounty with the people behind the gate that are starving. They need it too. And so we need to share the bounty of God's riches and blessings on us. We're all wealthy in America. You say, well, I'm not wealthy. We really are, compared to most people, we really are. And we can sacrifice, and God will bless that. I can confidently stand here and promise you,
amen,
promise you that God will bless that. If we'll make some decisions to do what God tells us to do. Let's stand, please. If you're here without Christ and you'd like to be saved, step out from where you are and come forward. If you're here and God is speaking to you about the mission field, come and surrender. God will take care of all your questions. If you're here and you need to come to the altar and pray for workers and you're willing to do that, you may not go, but you could come tonight and kneel down maybe and pray for some workers. Do that. If God is leading you to join this church, you know who we are, what we are. We're all about trying to reach souls and missions. We still preach from the old King James Bible, which has proven itself for many, many, many years. And we're celebrating a great time of the existence of it. But you know what we are. If God leads you, you come. May God help you. Father, bless now. Thank you for your word. I pray that Satan would be defeated. We know he's the enemy. He's here tonight. The demonic forces of hell fight world mission services. I know that they do. I know that Satan does. But we resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And we claim your promises. You said if we'd resist him, he'd flee from us. And if we'd draw nigh to you, you'd draw nigh to us. And Lord, that's what we're trying to do right now. Speak to our hearts. Help us to have a brokenness for a lost world at home and across the ocean, around the world, the 1040 window and everywhere else. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name.